Okay, before introducing each of our guests, I'd like to say a few words. As I started teaching in Oakland 18 years ago, I was really inspired and moved by my son's teachers, and I felt that this was a profession that I could really throw myself into. I loved my students. I loved being in Oakland because we have every country, every language almost represented in Oakland. We have the United Nations of Children in Oakland, and it is a place where we can really put our hearts into our work.
Hace 14 años he empezó la presidenta del sindicato, empezó como maestra aquí en el distrito y fue inspirada por las maestras de su hijo y lo que le ha llamado la atención a Oakland es la diversidad de personas que se encuentran aquí, parece una nación unida.
What drained me were the long hours of work, the incredible pressure of taking things home, because anybody who's ever taught knows you can't finish your job in 6 to 7 hours or even on weekends. You take it home with you, you sleep on it, you dream about it, you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about how you could help this child or work with this parent. It's a lifelong vocation. It takes up all of your time.
Como las horas que se ocupaban para hacer este quehacer. Es una vocación y un estilo de vida donde uno se compromete bastante.
And in the last 10 years, a change has been making the job of teaching even harder. With no child left behind, with high stakes testing, teaching to the test, prescriptive learning, scripted learning, pacing guides, the lack of time to collaborate and plan, more and more budget cuts, increasing class size, low salaries, and now a fierce and relentless attack on teachers and all public unions.
Y ahora los últimos 10 años ha sido un cambio drástico. Ha habido un aumento de estrés, un aumento de presión a causa de la guerra de no dejar el niño atrás, a causa de las pruebas estatales y las pruebas que se tienen que dar. Y una lista grande que el profesor se pasó, pero la verdad que
and now in Oakland, with the budget cuts, we're faced with 600 possible layoffs and no solution for the budget in sight. I'd just like to ask anybody who's received a pink slip to stand up so that your faces can be seen. We are opposed to the layoffs, we are opposed to the cuts, and we want to work together to find a way out of this mess. Our position is clear. We have a 10-point program, our OEA Create Success Vision, and it talks about things like small classes, time for teachers to plan and collaborate, adequate funding, aids in all the classrooms, and so forth.
Nos oponemos a los recortes, tenemos un plan bastante claro de 10 puntos donde queremos que haya solo clases pequeñas, donde haya ayudantes en los salones donde se ocupe y una lista bastante clara de lo que nosotros promovemos.
With California near the bottom, in per pupil funding, with no budget in sight, with banks, corporations, and wealthy Californians not interested in paying their fair share of taxes, and with recalcitrant Republicans refusing to even consider funding our most precious resources, we are angry.
Estamos bastante enojados, enrabiados con los recortes que están sucediendo y nos oponemos a todo lo que está pasando ahorita.
Our students deserve safe, stable, sustainable schools. They deserve teachers who are respected as professionals, not balanced around like pawns, not blamed for the failure of society to deal with the real issues of poverty.
Promovemos escuelas seguras y estables con profesionales donde no se les echa la culpa a ellos y donde se provean los recursos necesarios para llevar adelante a nuestra juventud.
I was going to read from a column, Open Forum, by Dave Eggers. You can find it on the table out there. I just want to read one paragraph because I know the time is short. The lives of public school teachers have never been more surreal. While they're being pilloried in films and in the press for their unions being too strong, among other things, last week 2,800 teachers in the Bay Area were told they might not have jobs in the fall. How's that for job security? There is no child psychologist who will tell you that children thrive amid chaos and uncertainty. Children need stability, regularity, continuity, and yet every year we shake up their lives at will. We fire the newest teachers, increase class sizes, and play musical chairs with teachers all over the district. Schools struggle to plan, to build, and each school's knowledge base is thrown to the wind.
Quiso leer un artículo, un párrafo de un artículo de un foro abierto sobre la educación que se publicó el 22 de marzo. Dice que las vidas de los maestros en las escuelas públicas nunca han sido más surreal. Han estado castigadas en las películas y en la prensa. Han dicho que los sindicatos de ellas están muy fuertes. Además, en la semana pasada, más de 2.800 maestros en el área de la bahía se les contó que no iban a tener sus trabajos en el otoño. No hay ningún psicólogo de niños que les diga que los niños sobresalen cuando hay tanto caos y tanta inseguridad. Los niños necesitan estabilidad, regularidad y comunidad. Y cada año, sin embargo, cada año sus vidas están sacudidas. Cuando se recortan sus maestras más nuevas, cuando se les incrementa la cantidad de niños en el salón y cuando se juega una especie de sillas musicales con los maestros, sobre todo los distritos, las escuelas están batallando para planear, para crecer y para mejorar el conocimiento, la base de conocimiento de cada escuela, y cuando eso se avienta al viento.
So because of time, what we're going to ask is that anybody who needs Spanish translation come just right back over here, and then we'll have our translators work with them. Otherwise, we won't have enough time for people to come up with their comments. So,
para no gastar tanto tiempo, vamos a pedir que todas esas personas que ocupen traducción que se vengan a sentar acá para poder traducir más rápidamente y así poder hacer que tengan más oportunidad de hacer sus preguntas. Por favor, acompáñenme atrás.
And while they're moving, I'd like to go up to Sheila Jordan, our Alameda County Superintendent of Schools, who just arrived and we've got the two mannequins. Okay, well, with all this dire stuff going on, with the fact that Maine today is saying that they might reverse child labor laws, with the 100th anniversary yesterday of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, that was the beginning of many of the labor laws that we know today, and union protection, we're seeing complete upheaval. I'm really happy that we don't live in Tea Party land. I am really happy that when we go to call our elected representatives, we know that we don't have much to say because they are on our side. And I'm really happy that we have Nancy Skinner in the Assembly, Sandra Swanson in the Assembly, Sheila at the County Office, Jean as our Mayor, and Tony Smith as our Superintendent, because I believe that despite differences, despite tensions, we can try to work together to make some sense of the system and try and reverse the layoffs, change the way things are done, and really make public education a priority in this city.
My name is Catherine Clark Hines, and I come to you as a very proud first grade teacher from Burke Alder Elementary School in East Oakland. And at 2, I'm a pink slip teacher. So it's with a little bit of a tear in my eye, but I'm also very hopeful and very optimistic to see all of you, to see our panel here, and to really know that we're here for our students, we're here for education, and working together, I know that we can do the things that we need to do. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of the logistics of our lovely venue. The restrooms are through our chamber, to the right and to the left, the women's are to the right and the men's are to the left. We have an overflow room that is downstairs along with our daycare. We also have our balcony seating, if you can't find a seat here. What's going to happen is that each of our elected officials is going to have 3 minutes to give some opening remarks, and then each of our speakers from our audience will have 1 minute. Kay Swenson has been collecting speaker cards. Also, you are able to turn in speaker cards out in the front, and we will sort them, and we will call your name to come to the microphone. Each speaker has 1 minute, and we're going to be very strict with time. And we have our timekeeper right here who will hold up some signs for everyone to see. Also, once again, if you need translation, we're translating behind us here. We have one change in our schedule. We will talk about our agreements at 11:20. We have some of our guests that need to leave to go to other meetings. So at 11:20, we're going to insert where we will talk about our agreements. So without further ado, we will start introducing our panelists to speak, and let's all enjoy today's event.
Okay, so I'd like to first introduce Assembly Member Nancy Skinner, who's going to start the morning off.
Thank you. I realized to sit there, but I didn't have a mic, so start. The thing that's very, very ironic about right now is, well, yes, the state has severe deficit because the revenues in California dropped due to the global recession. And as we see, I mean, all of us have friends and family that are unemployed. You've got friends and family that are facing, you know, either foreclosure or already were foreclosed. So we know that the economy is not yet recovered. But ironically, there's just as much wealth in the state and in the country as there was in the past. And it's where the money is going. And the thing that just, it just defies logic that the quote-unquote grassroots, we know it's semi, except it is funded by Republicans like the Koch brothers, whatever those guys are. Anyway, who of course inherited their money from oil. But anyway, the Tea Partiers, instead of here they're fighting and saying, you know, don't tax us, when meanwhile, when we look at the actual tax rates, the wealthiest people in California and across the nation are paying less taxes than they've ever paid since before the Great Depression. And middle-income people have not gotten a great tax break. The wealthiest have. So why is the Tea Party not demanding that we roll back the Bush high-income tax credits? Why isn't the Tea Party demanding that we roll back the corporate tax credits so that we can then fund our schools, provide mortgage relief for people who are losing their homes, and provide the basic services that everyone deserves? Well, because they have this notion that the best government is no government. And we know what that means. I'm glad, Betty, that you reminded us that yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. And of course, I looked up some of the statements by the owners of the Durango Shirtwaist Factory and other titans of industry in New York at that time. And these are direct quotes. Regulations are too costly. The best government is no government. Well, look what happened there. 127 people died. So what are we seeing in California? We're seeing that low-income people are getting denied services and our schools are being starved. So we've got to take back Right now, we're trying to get a tax extension on the ballot. That's what the fight in Sacramento is about. And Republicans are refusing. And personally, I don't want to give away the store to them. So if we have to do it ourselves, let's do it ourselves. Let's take the risk. Let's bring the argument to the public and trust that California voters know and will do the right thing.
Thank you, Assemblymember Skinner. And now I'd like to welcome Assemblymember Sandra Swanson, who has long been a champion in open for open education. Thank you.
Thank all of you for what you're doing for our children. Many times we lose sight of the goal, the purpose of schools, and the passion and commitment of those that serve our educational institutions and give great service to our children. And I think that's at the core of us not being able to appreciate your contribution and making sure that's reflected in the budget. And so we find ourselves in a situation where California is at a crossroads. What do we stand for? If we poll people in California, what is the priority as reflected in our budget? What's the priority as reflected in our public policy? It's been confused over the years. And I think that there's been a lack of commitment to education. Education still remains my number one legislative priority. The health, education, and welfare of our children still remains my principal goal, my motivating force. And so, yes, we have a budget crisis. But our budget crisis in California wasn't just caused by the economic crisis. It was caused because Governor Schwarzenegger eliminated the vehicle license fee, $5 billion a year, and then backfilled it with loans. So now we have debt service up to here because people and got us on this trend of borrowing and spending and us not sharing the responsibility. Do the math, $5 billion a year for all the years he was there. So of course, you put an economic recession on the recession. On top of that, we're in this position. You want to blame teachers. You want to blame our education system. You want to blame unions. You want to blame pensions. It's ludicrous. Well, if you're with me, I'm sick and tired. Of blaming the middle class for these problems. And blaming those in education for the problems. But education, if everyone appreciates the contribution, it is an investment in our future. We're not blaming you. I say that just because my sister worked for Oakland Unified for 25 years as a teacher, although that would help me get a bill. We have a lot of work to do. I'm sick and tired of the cuts, the excuses for the cuts. I don't believe that we had to do them because I believe we should have been on the streets a long time ago. Companies can pay Alaska 26%, can pay Texas and oil service, and then we subsidize them by not having an oil service tax here in California to help us with our tax revenue. I'm sorry, I'm caught off, but you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Next, I'd like to ask for some remarks from Allegheny County Superintendent of Schools, Sheila Jordan.
How's that? Yeah. All right. Well, I used to sit in this. chambers, and it's actually it's great to look out and see all of you here and be on the dais with folks who are comrades and colleagues in a struggle that I wish I had more. A struggle that needs to happen. In all candor, I have to tell you that public education in the immediate future is not going to be moving forward. You ask us to speak about how you see us moving forward in public education. And I say this with deep heartache. As many of you know, I was and have been actively involved in many of the progressive movements in education. I was a public school teacher for over 20 years. I was a school board member. My dream when I entered the administrative side of education was first as a school board member and then as county superintendent of schools, was to serve as the spearhead of progressive change. That was the goal. And what that has always meant to me is more respect and better compensation for teachers, a focus on children, on dealing with a whole child, on looking at assessment and accountability as working with children where they are and taking them to where their hopes and dreams are. All of you continue to work. All of the teachers in the room, all of the parents in the room, continue your union leadership. We are all focused on those hopes and dreams. And among the superintendents in Alameda County, you've got a group of people who get together on a regular basis and talk about the issues that we face. As educators, the focus has been on education, on the issues of class, on the issues of race. You have a superintendent now who is a leader in all of that. I don't have to tell you, the members of this audience, that the realization of our dream appears very far away. And it is clear to me that if we remain within the current framework of governance, we will be pushed back further and further until there is nothing left of public education, of the public will in this state. We need to think outside the box. The immediate political target proposed a referendum. If it happens, will be a stopgap measure at best, but it needs to happen. If it's on the ballot, I would certainly vote yes, but we should have no illusions that it will solve the problems of state governance or of educational finance. These are times of change in the world. Populations that have been long silenced are standing up. We need to be part of that.
Time to move forward. Thank you. And now we'd like to hear from Mayor Jean Kwan.
Thank you. Sheila and I are both people who have been on the board, on the city council, now I'm the mayor of the state. And what I like about the first part this morning, and what I'm afraid of is that we haven't looked at really fair taxes in the state of California, and we've fallen into the trap. I've had some disagreements with the CPA, to be quite honest. Let's not pit poor people who need affordable housing and jobs as redevelopment funds against the schools. We should have been out together on petitions to get an oil severance tax, which is no political rule in Sacramento. I don't know if I can talk about my friends here. $2 million, maybe a little less than $2 million, that's a huge chunk. It's a huge chunk of the cuts to education. We should have been out on the streets as they've been talking about being willing to put the taxes for. It looks like we may have to be. If we don't say that we're willing to, we're not going to get fairness here for our communities. That's going to take a broad coalition, both the local and the state level. I had a chance to chat with some of you this morning. I was so depressed, that's why we stopped giving up things during part-time I was on the school board. The fact that year after year, some of you get pink slips and it gives you no stability in your life. And this is probably the worst recession since the Depression. The city is also looking at a budget, but I'm assuming that I also will have to lay off, maybe not quite as many, but a couple hundred city employees unless there's some a Hail Mary perfect scenario. But there are some things we can do, and I want to thank particularly Senator Swanson for being willing, and he and I have both been talking to Tom Pollockson about if we could get the state to take responsibility for the additional debt incurred during the trusteeship, just the interest alone on that. We also just have to do what we can do, and so some of you know that I started a joint education cabinet for job training and to help our young people. We've also had joint cabinet meetings, and we're going to do a series of initiatives that are going to help the kids in the city, despite the fact that we have no new money. But I'm committed to working with Sandre to get that loan, at least for, if not forgiven, at least for the interest stop, so that we're in this time. I think it's insane that the state can take over the school district and leave you in more shape than they can.
Thank you, Mayor Kwan, and now we'd like to hear from Superintendent Steve.
Championing our cause and representing us at the state level and representing the city. So first, I really appreciate all the work that you're doing on our behalf. And many of the commitments we're going to be asked to make later, they've made already and are demonstrated in their daily acts and the championing for Oakland. I think the thing that really strikes me is in the State of the Union, Union Address, President Obama talked about winning the future. And his whole frame is we have to improve education in the United States if we're going to win the future. Well, in the United States, we are not going to win the future if we lose California. And I absolutely believe we are losing California right now. And the federal policy, the state policy, and the stance is absolutely opposite of that rhetoric. And what we have to do is understand that in California, I'm not surprised by the inequity in the funding. It, for me, is evidence of the more diverse this state has become, the less well-funded education has been. So we are looking at, so from my perspective, it's one of the clearest examples of structural racism in the United States. And our ability to function and care for families, the least well-resourced families, the families that are most in distress, are the ones who are most damaged by this funding structure. And in Oakland, all of you know, in schools where the highest need children are, given the way that the structures we have in terms of options and the funding structure that this district uses, it then sets up small schools that the least well-funded, most high-need kids are with the least support. So you work in a setting that is constantly challenging. So the conversations I have with teachers, many in this room, in fact, about the post-traumatic stress that the kids are suffering from, you also are enduring. And the less we fund education, the less well-prepared we are to take care of the adults or take care of kids. Now, we also have to say, so to Mayor Kwan's point, to get the district back with a $100 million loan and a structural deficit of $40 million, we did not have the care that we were supposed to get. And currently we're being audited and audit findings by the state against when the state was in charge, and that's up to $22 million. So it's immoral and it's unconscionable. And I would say there are opportunities right now. So part of the challenge I take, and I know there's a lot of folks who are upset with me, but I tell you what, we have to, my charge, an Oakland resident, I've got two daughters in school here, we have to be able to provide places for kids to go to school. And if I don't follow the steps and we go bankrupt again, then we lose local control. But folks, I have to be able to make sure that there's schools for the kids in Oakland. And I apologize for the way we have to do this noticing, and we have to work together to figure out how to increase funding.
Okay, so we are now going to questions from the audience, and we've been collecting speaker cards, so we'll be calling about 5 or 10 names at a time. Please don't come up until you've been called. Reminder, after we've done the commitments with our guests, then we will have another period for open mic. If you did not fill out a speaker card, there is still time. You can give them to Tony, Janana, raise your hands. They will fill them. So right now I have Sue Scott, Nikita Mitchell, Jackie Roth, Amelia Bailey, Barbara Cass, Misato Araki, and Marilyn Noble. And reminder, 1 minute for questioning. We have to stick to that because of time.
Are you thinking about furlough days, or are we talking about closing schools? What's happening to our music, our PE, art programs? They're laying off teachers, but the students aren't going anywhere. So I don't understand how we can be laying off teachers when the numbers are not changing in our schools.
We get more than 80% of our money from the state. I actually have absolutely no idea how much money we're going to get next year. So what we did is we followed by class size maximums. We noticed the maximum extent we could, because I absolutely do not know how much money we're going to get. And everything we're doing in partnership with our representatives, we're trying to be clear as we can to get as much money locally. I will also say that we missed Measure L by 340 no votes, and that would have been $16.5 million for school-based employees, so we're suffering a little bit for that. So the ability that we have right now, we're making reductions. The classified staff, and I don't see many classified folks represented here, will actually probably end up bearing the brunt of this burden, and we're trying to figure out how to reduce centrally. We reduced central office staff by more than 20% last year.
Thank you.
And can I just say, state your name first when you come up and name work, and then we'd like the responses to be captured by the end of this one. Thanks.
Mayor Kwan, thank you for hosting us today. My name is Barbara Cass. I'm a resource specialist at Chagall Elementary and advancing the community. I'm here, so I'm going to keep my comment focused on something very small. I know that this is part of a really larger issue, but I'm also here as a member of the Community Advisory Council, and we have requested from Programs for Exceptional Children information about how many new teachers they're going to be hiring for next year through the Oakland Practitioner Teaching Program. We requested that information in a timely fashion in writing. It should have been given to us. We have not received it. We're now writing a letter of concern as a formal body to the district, because we have been asking that credentialed teachers who are being laid off be allowed to apply for those same positions as new people from the outside. And we have been told, we do not think there's enough time for this. We do not think we can do this by next year. We are saying that special ed children deserve to have teachers with experience and to have outside are allowed to apply. If not being given priority, at the very least, they should be allowed to apply for open positions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
want to speak, and all speakers don't require a song.
I'm Jackie Law, Oakland teacher and former Oakland parent. There has been a lot of concern that OUSD does not spend the required 55% as specified by the Ed Code on teachers.
So this is a major issue. So it was not done at all for the state administration. And so when the state was in charge, it did not follow the law. And one of the first things I made a commitment directly to David DeLay that we would get this right as fast as possible. We made some progress last year. We're not where we need to be. And I will tell you this. We right now have about as many schools in Oakland as districts with 15,000 to 20,000 more children. So the administrator ratio to teacher and support is off based on the number of kids and the number of schools. So even by reducing 20% centrally and taking that many certificated administrators out of the district, we're close, but we're not there yet. We're going to be pretty darn close to 55% in this budget cycle, and by next year we'll be at that 55%. It wasn't done for more than 6 years, and to move the entire organization is going to take a little bit of time.
Thank you. So our speaker, our previous speaker, Barbara Cass, actually wanted a response to the question about special education, if regular and general ed teachers will be able to enter the special education positions.
That are open.
So one of the places that we protected in terms of the skipping criteria were special ed teachers, so people with a special ed credential. So we are working to get every person who's in a special ed classroom to have the support of a teacher with a special ed credential. So that process, and so I can't answer the question, I don't know how many new special ed teachers will need to be hired, and we made a commitment to make sure that they have a special ed credential. So if you're asking a question, I'm sorry.
And we are working with Maria Santos also to see if we can get teachers who may be laid off, who may be interested in getting a special ed credential, to be able to join that program, the Oakland Practitioner Teaching Program.
First of all, there were some of us who got fired last year when adult education was basically eviscerated. And I am part of AFT-771. It's sort of a ghost association right now, but we have hopes that as the educational budget improves, we will come back to life. There are several of us with this. I support teachers with pay slips because we've already been through it. I have a very specific question. I think either Dr. Smith or Dr. Jordan can answer. We are hearing a great deal about full-service community schools. What place do you see adult education, particularly family literacy, in this new configuration?
So, I think the family literacy piece is essential, and when we talk about creating places that provide all the support our kids need, and having a vision of where we're headed instead of just trying to hold on. Because the outcomes we're getting now are inaccurate. I mean, I can tell you that, and I know the folks in this room believe that. We've got to figure out how to do a better job for all of our kids. And the family literacy piece is essential, and figuring out how to do that and maintain that. So that's been the core of what we've been able to hold on to in the adult ed, and we're going to continue to do that.
If I could just add, you know, when I was on the school board, I worked really hard to save the adult ed and get our maximum resource spent on that. The park and rec department in the interim, and I know that doesn't make it sound the same, is trying to work with judiciary and some of the local teachers to see if we can provide ESL classes at the park and rec centers. I know Tony was talking about opening up the schools for longer hours. I think together we're going to try to work on with the Ed Cabinet to try to get additional funds so that we can deal with literacy for the whole family, particularly our immigrant parents who need basic English language skills themselves, I think. So legislators are getting rid of the categorical funds and not protecting them, and then cutting education so deeply, even though it didn't pass a policy to cut those programs, that's what happened. We all knew that was going to happen. And the same thing on the other end, the Child Development Center. This city has a goal of getting universal preschool. So far, they've protected some of it, but with this, and now the Republicans saying that they'll cut 20%. Head Start, although it failed in the Senate the other day, but can still pass in the House and we can still leave because of Head Start. This investment we've been trying to make about forest kids at preschool is really in danger.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to add that I've been working with my seatmate, who is similar to Mike Ng, and this has been the issue with adult education. The bill that we're co-authoring is AB 189, and to address that particular question of not recognizing the importance of adult education, which is so critical for this community, so please continue to support that as we try to sensitize people to flexibility as a purpose, but when it runs over programs that brings so much benefit to our community, I think we're making a big mistake. So we're going to push that legislation to address that question.
Thank you. I really congratulate you, Sondra, for sponsoring that bill. One of the things over the years I've worked with adult ed always had a protected amount of money. Once the state came up with this wonderful notion of Tier 3, which basically did away with categoricals, it's not something I've ever supported. We've all fought hard the issue of categoricals. Adult Ed really stands on its own. It is an incredible resource for the community. At the county office, we have all kinds of partnerships with adult ed in the county. We all know the role that adult ed plays for the senior community, for kids who haven't graduated yet, who are not doing well in school and turn to adult ed at age 18 and often are turned around through the work of adult ed. There's tremendous partnerships that we need to build with adult ed, and it should be a separate fund of money. It should really not be considered K-12.
Thank you very much.
We have money, so I'm obliged to get the money.
My name is Lisa Dolowski. I'm a teacher, a first grade teacher at Kaiser Elementary School. Equitable education means, we want safe, stable, sustainable schools. Equitable education means adequate funding for all schools. What other sources of revenue can the government to make this happen?
I talked a little bit in my opening about the disparity of the tax burden, and ironically, under Governors Reagan and Wilson, who are Republican governors in California, the highest income people in California had a 10 and 11% personal income tax rate. Now, anyone and everyone who earns from $75,000 on up to $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, or a billion, all pay only the 9%. So I'm hearing a bill right now that would reinstate the Reagan-Wilson tax brackets for those of you who are making $5 million. Last year and this year, all over my district, and overwhelmingly, 70 to 80% of the participants, we've had over 2,000 participants in these budget forums, said reinstate those tax brackets to bring revenue.
I think that we have to use every strategy in addition to what the mayor addressed as a fair tax system. Superintendent Smith, the mayor's office, and I met with Superintendent Turris, State Superintendent Turris, around the unfair treatment that Oakland's receiving around the penalties that were developed when the state was running the school district. And so I have a bill, AB 600, which is looking at a special relief for those penalties that should not be left as a burden for a district, which I guess is now $20 million. And so we want to do that. And then finally, we need to make sure that we can reduce our recidivism rate in our state prisons. We can probably save $2 billion if we allow education to take place in our state prisons. We lower our recidivism rate.
I'm going to locate my business in
California, their education and technology. And so I just think that that is the relationship that we have to restore for our next generation.
Your voice is essential, and you are absolutely correct. We have basically taken away your right to have quality education.
That's right.
But I also want to just say to our sister, the student who represents students on LUSD, we have term limits now, so Sandra and I only get to serve 6 years. We'll be grooming you to take our seat.
Mitchell is a recipient of the California Teachers Association Youth Activist Award through the Peace and Justice Caucus, and we'll be going to see you.
Another look at the Democracy Act that was put forward and not supported by many at the last round of initiatives. That Democracy Act was a way of mobilizing and organizing. It was meant to mobilize and organizing youth starting at the university level. And it was to change the two-thirds. We have a majority of people who are Democrats, who are committed to progressive causes, and we cannot pass these necessary, we cannot make these necessary changes. I say let's put them back on the ballot, and they're moving to the so that we can vote on revenues that will support our schools, our health care, our roads, our bridges, and all of the programs that we need or that we know are essential in this state of California.
Good morning, my name is Amelia Bailey. I'm a third grade teacher at Private Elementary. I also have an incoming kindergartner of my own next year. My question is, why should the revenues generated by the port be exclusively for the developers and not citizens of the city? Minimum tax on passengers and cargo coming through port or airport or businesses operating on port property would generate much needed income. So why do the revenues need to be exclusively for the developers?
Actually, there aren't any fees that go to the developers. As developers get money, it'll be for redevelopment, and the governors will eliminate that. There is a court case in Los Angeles to see whether or not we can put any fees as a federal jurisdiction for local impacts. And so we're following that pretty closely. If that court case is sustained, I think Oakland will also be doing that because of the impact of the port on the environment. There have been a couple attempts to put fees by localities on boards. It just hasn't been successful. And even the Los Angeles fee, which is $1 per container because of the pollution and the impact on the community, is being held on the board.
So now we come to the portion of our town hall meeting where we are going to read our six commitments, and we are going to ask our elected officials to commit or not to plan to the commitments that we read. So we have our members of our tax team that will hold up the commitments so that so after I read the first commitment, we would like if you support it and commit to working with us in the actualization of these commitments, if you could raise your hand, that would be great. Thank you. Our first commitment here says, I commit to publicly endorse and work for progressive taxes to fund public education and services.
Yay!
accountability of charter schools.
Yes! Yeah. Yeah.
Commitment 3. I commit to work with the Oakland Education Association to hold the state accountable for debt incurred while under state administration. Commitment 4. I commit to publicly support and work toward forgiving OUSD's loan payments to the state.
Charters.
Thank you.
And by these ongoing audits that are outrageous, and I would certainly believe that any interest that they're charging is not appropriate.
Thank you.
But there is a rest of the state that's also dealing with.
Okay, it was a yes or no question.
Thank you.
Right.
Commitment number 5. I commit to ensuring that OUSD spent 55% of education expenses on teacher and aide salaries per the education code. Our last commitment for today. I commit to work to restore adequate funding for class size reduction.
And how about rescinding all those layoffs?
I commit to working with OEA to rescind all the layoffs. So one thing that I will say is OEA is working on, some of the principals have come up with some ideas on how to save money and shift the layoffs. OEA is doing the same, and we are asking to come to the April 6th special board meeting to present our ideas. We believe that not a single consultant should be paid out of OUSD funds. Unmandated benchmark testing being paid for teachers of the I'd like to formally thank you for your commitments. We know that this is just a check mark on a page right now, but there are many things that we will continue to be working on around these issues. We're going to continue with some other questions.
Can I just have a reaction to the list? First of all, thank you for the list. And over the last 4 years, I've carried a lot of bills, actually, that address each of those points on the list. And I'm very proud of that fact. I met with the governor last week, and I told him that in this atmosphere where the legislature is drawn away from cutting back on its commitment to things that are important for our communities, we must give the communities the opportunity to raise their own revenue. And by lowering the threshold from 2/3 to 55%, the governor said he's committed to that. And
So we want to work with the governor because this question of taxes is on the part of Republicans is really disingenuous. Because it's not that they are against taxes. They just lack the courage to put the revenue up. But by their inaction, it forces every community in California to raise revenues through parking fines and other kinds. So we just need to make sure that the community has the ability to raise its own revenue and set its priorities so that we can get on with the portals. And I'm committed to doing that. And I think that each of these questions, particularly the ones about layoffs and trying to reverse that, I think that it's clear we want to do that. And we must do it. And I think that the solution, unfortunately, is going to be us hitting the streets and making sure that we put on the ballot the things that prioritize education first and reverses this trend. I think we can do that, but it's going to require us to move forward in that direction.
Great. I just want to reinforce what Assemblymember Swanson said about that bringing down the ability for us in local areas to be able to pass revenues at only 55%. Because as was pointed out earlier, what was it, 440-some votes in Oakland that killed the measure that would have funded your schools by $16 million. So imagine, only 444 people were able to deny that which the majority of Oakland residents wanted. So we've got to change that, and that we want a central way that we can do more. Thank
you. You know, I certainly support the 55%. It's not the answer. But we can't have poor communities. We have poor communities like San Lorenzo right here in the county that can't, they cannot produce that kind of revenue that they need for their working class communities. So we need a democracy act. We need to change the way we bring in revenue in the state. I believe we need a 50% vote for all taxation. Right now they can reduce taxes, and they do regularly by a majority vote. Kind of to pass them is two-thirds.
Thank you.
It's not right. Yep. And it's not fair.
I also appreciate this very much, and doing any work we can to get more revenue to keep class sizes small and to take care of teachers, absolutely. And I think important to this, a lot of the stance right now is that you're going to improve education without and in spite of teachers. That's exactly the opposite way to approach this. And the teacher gathering we're about to have at the beginning of April is defining what good teaching is, working together, supporting teachers in the classroom. That's what the city has to be about. And we are moving closer to that. I think we have the right representation and the right leadership that you want to do that.
Thank you. Before we continue with our next speakers, I would just like to say that we appreciate your attendance here very much and that we hope to have more of these events in the future. It would help us greatly if you could turn in your evaluation forms, maybe pass them to the center and OEA person will come and get them. We're going to call the next 10 speakers, and we apologize in advance if we do not get to everyone that speaks. We do have our carbon copy here, and we will figure out ways to get your messages to the correct officials so that your voices can be heard and not in this form today.
For the next 10 speakers, Henry Gibbs, Benji Octenberg, Barbara Buswell, Jean Higgins, Irene Kim, Julie Palacios, Liz Derns, Anna Turetsky, Mark Lisby.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good morning. At our events, Oakland parents together, parent of a son at Oakland Technical High School. I want to thank Betty for turning me on to a speech that Michael Orme in Wisconsin, many of you probably read. 400 people in the United States have as much wealth as half the population of this country. 400 people, let me say that again, so Michael says too. 400 people have as much well as 155 million citizens in this country. That's the problem. That's the whole problem. That's it. How do we make math to better willing to work, to put something on the ballot or whatever, to go after that, and I have a percentage, I have to calculate the percentage of what that is. Something like it's 0.000001 something like that. It's a very we can get 66% to go after that 0.00128 percent. Thank you.
Time. Before we continue, I just want to thank Superintendent Smith. He's going to have to leave in a few minutes for a special board meeting. But I want to thank him for his presence.
I'm sorry, just one second. I think it's really important that, first of all, this forum is great, but also you should just know that we've been in great contact with Superintendent Smith, and he's been in Sacramento several times trying to work on these problems. And so just trust that we're working hard. And if the superintendent wasn't sensitive to this, it would make a big difference for how fast we could advance. So before you left, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate your awesome reaching out to us and work with us. We're going to leave the hard problems, but we're going to continue to do that. So thank you for doing this one.
I also thank Superintendent Smith also, and I just wanted, none of us really commented on his very, very important statement earlier that the defunding of education is the most significant structural racism going on in America. And let's look at California. We Caucasians, and I say we because I'm one, we are not the majority in the state, but we still vote by larger numbers than our people of color colleagues. And until we can help get everyone in this state to vote and to understand they need to vote to reverse these kind of trends and this structural racism, which is being put into place in effect by white voters deciding that they're not going to fund public education anymore.
That's right.
So we've got to change that. We can only change that by really engaging all residents of California in voting.
I'm also a leader. I am a founding grandparent of Think College Knack Elementary School. I am here today with my parents to speak to you about the seniority, the layoff. While the seniority is a time-honored principle, we need to balance the rights of adults with the rights of children. Several schools that have made significant achievement gains will lose more than half of their teachers. The strict seniority rules are followed in the layoff plan. A school is not a factory. It is more like a family, a community of learners. The state constitution guarantees education as a right for all Californians. And the Ed Code says that the exception of seniority layoff can be made in the order to provide equal protection of the law. Both Los Angeles and Sacramento have decided to protect schools that will be decimated by layoff because it is a violation of the children's civil rights.
Yeah.
Your leadership to come up with creative layoff plans and that respects the
government.
Preserve the integrity of the teaching staff as vulnerable schools. Sacramento did things right there with the law. So we ask that you take a courageous stand for the children in
time. Thank you.
I just want to say we have 11 to 13 of our teachers with a big slip, but put it well, including our principal. Time. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here.
school. And I would like to get into a few brass tacks about what's going on. I have a memo that I received from the principals regarding 30 anonymous principals who have put forth some ideas. I don't agree with all of these ideas, but I wonder what our union, our district, our elected officials can do to facilitate finding common ground so we can move ahead and reduce our debt. And that is up to
I'll just speak briefly to that. We have seen the proposals by the principals, and as I said earlier, OEA is working on some similar proposals. We're looking at areas that we could propose shifting priorities in the district, but we understand that we're working with ever-decreasing funding, so it's not like there's huge pots of money sitting out there. However, as I said earlier, we do believe that around non-mandated testing, consultant contracts, etc., there is money that could be shifted to keeping our teachers. And we have talked to Superintendent Smith about working on ways, creative ways to find more funding. I also want to mention to all the laid-off teachers, I checked with the presidents of San Diego and San Francisco to see what their layoff notices looked like over the last few years. They had something like on the order of 700 in the past few years. Almost all of those teachers were called back. What we don't know is what's going to happen with the state budget. But I think it is important to continue to raise the issue that we cannot tolerate this number of layoffs. It's going to decimate our schools and decimate our population. And it's going to pit teachers against teachers and schools against schools. So we need to continue to say we cannot have any of those.
We have talked a lot about it today, but the issues that we've been voting on in Sacramento at this point have only got us halfway there. And these cuts have been extremely painful. We all are very sick of these cuts. Education would suffer tremendously if we didn't get the additional $12-13 million that we need to move forward. And so let's just pay very close attention to getting the initiative on the ballot for additional revenue. And that's just the beginning. I think that we have to commit ourselves in the long run to trying to deal with the fact that education has been underfunded for a number of years and has suffered tremendous cuts over several years so that we can avoid any layoffs by reinvesting in education. So let's pay very close attention to the ballot initiative that's coming up even through our petitions or through some action of the legislature. If it's an action of the legislature, we cannot compromise away our principles. If we have to go to the speech, let's do that. Thank you.
CFT Adult Ed Commission, and Community and Education Activist and Laid-Off Teacher. Thank you very much for coming to this town hall meeting, and thank you. What's your name? And I hope that Assembly Members Swanson and Skidman will go on to Senate or another position of your choice, and we will be behind you both. With the cuts, I'm sorry that Superintendent Skidman isn't here right now. These were primarily directed for him to him. If the cuts incite violence, despair, disarray, diminish quality of life, break the spirit, fracture wholeness, and weaken the educational system of our people, our priorities are wrong. If there is any money in this budget, and there is, I hope that the school district has the courage, the will, the strength, and the wisdom to replace politics with core values. I am sorry that I am the only one that has informed the adult ed unit about AB 189 and about Fulu County's bill, which will still have its hearing, AB 1350, which is transitioning high school students to
Community colleges. I don't believe that the adult education department has been informed of so many of the legislative efforts, and also that the money that is coming in a pilot project, it has not yet been approved, but I can guarantee it'll be here to help adults, high school students transition. Still, to this day, even though they are getting layoff notices, we have three administrators in adult education, for one administrator per 300 students, and for only 58 teachers that are still working in OEA. I think there's a problem with the finances, even still today, with the budget crisis. I'm hoping very much that there'll be more oversight and more intention in skimming the top and not firing all the people who deliver and are committed service and inspire our young people.
My question is for Mayor Kwan. I was wondering what kind of support you can give us teachers and what kind of pressure you are willing to actively put on the school board to rescind all of the layoffs and figure out better ways to cut the funds that unfortunately have to be cut. We're all very aware of that. But what other ways those funds can be cut without impacting all of the students and all of the teachers from the whole project group?
As you know, there's been a long friendship between a lot of people up here, and we're going to do our best. The state doesn't have direct authority. I can. I've offered to help. Let's start from the outset. I've offered to help, particularly through anything I can, to help Sanjay get the state money back, because that's the biggest pot of money, quite frankly. I worked really hard on the last parcel tax, and even while I was running for mayor, campaigned for that and put it in my literature. I was told not to do that. So getting more money is important. In terms of mediating and differences or whatever, I'm available. I don't have a seat at the table. I have been talking to individual school board members about particular items. In our joint cabinet meeting, we came up with 39 ideas of working the city and the schools, that this is a joint cabinet meeting with the Tony Smith's cabinet and the city's cabinet, top department leaders. We've come up with 39 ideas that will either help the community and or will save money. So I'm working pretty hard on that. So that's what I'm doing now. If there are other things that Betty needs me to do, I'm always open to doing that.
Thank you.
It's an interactive board game that breaks down all the complicated history and mess
of the California tax system and the public education system. We would love to do that workshop in your classrooms.
Before you leave, I would just love to suggest to you that you do some outreach to higher ed as well, because education, from zero all the way up to 16 is under attack, and I think
We're working with the allies. Also, let's keep in mind, as we're fighting for education, that our partners in this, and the mayor's summer youth program, and making sure that we can work on making sure our youth have some employment during this time is really important. And so as we address this question, let's make sure we can figure out how to make sure our youth can receive internships and employment opportunities during this critical time. That will help balance their energy and opportunities as we fight for education.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. I think it's the afternoon now. Thank you so much for providing this forum for all of us together and share our ideas and recommendations, basically. My name is Irene Kim. I'm a 9th and 10th world history teacher at Oakland International High School. And unfortunately, I got pink slips. I'll continue on, but do you want to
introduce yourself? Hello, everyone. My name is Dalvin Bobby. I'm from here, and I'm not a freshman in 9th grade.
Me along with five other teachers at Public Schools and our 20 teacher staff at Oakland International High School, we work really hard to provide the best education there is that could possibly give for our students, who a quarter of them are refugees from all around the world, and over 90% of our student population of about 350 are on higher risk lunch. So it's really affected our school, considering that 6 out of 20 have gotten and I just want to share my perspective as a newer teacher. This is my second year teaching, but my first year was working with my school district. I taught at the Central last year in Berkeley. And now that I got pink slips, I'm going to have to find perhaps another district where I'm not going to have seniority at all, even though it would be my third year of teaching. And I don't want to pit the newer teachers against the teachers with seniority, because we need them. I'm still learning, I'm still growing.
Please, no layoffs. More teachers means more learning. So please go with us. Please.
I want to ask for one quick second. We were scheduled to end at 12, so I know Mayor Shaw needs to leave at 12:15. I wanted to ask our other guests if it's possible to stay until 12:15. If not, we understand because we have such a well. Okay. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Mark Lisby. I'm a community college teacher and member of the community college district. And first, I just wanted to say to everybody, we've been surviving on a diet of crumbs for too long, and at the point where now we're starving to death. And I wanted to thank the panelists for making something exceptionally clear to both of us and the audience, and that is the money exists in California to fully fund education at every single level. Social services, it exists to stop cuts of transportation, and so on. And what I think has been made clear to us is that it's
basically, the panelists are not in the same position to stop these cuts. And we have to hold a mirror up to ourselves and recognize that it's going to be up to us. The money exists, but either we're going to be able to organize a social movement to demand the kind of changes we need, we're going to get rolled over and starve to death on a diet of crumbs. And right now, we have many, many, many examples throughout the world to give ourselves a sense of hope. We see people in Tunisia, we see people in Egypt, and now we can spread to Wisconsin. So I encourage anybody who wants to get involved and build a group that expands across all levels, please get in touch with them. We're a group called AgainstCuts.org. Thank you very much.
While they're coming to the mic, I would like to remind everybody, April 4th has been called as a nationwide day of action. In OEA, we'll be asking teachers to do informational picketing in the morning and hopefully take your classes out after school and stand there so when people coming by can see the faces of the children, the faces of the pink slip teachers. We'll be planning other things during the day, and we certainly want you to keep looking at the website, checking your constant content email blast.
My name is Bob Edel. I'm an adult ed teacher. Formerly, will you contact Wells Fargo to help set up a meeting with OEA, as formally requested by our president, to discuss the banks bailing out the schools? Wells Fargo received $50 billion. Wells Fargo is San Francisco based. Its main mortgage office is in Oakland. Wells Fargo's bailout is 500 times the Oakland school debt. Wells Fargo can put up the money to prevent all layoffs in the city. Will you expedite that meeting? Who teach kids, who teach young adults, who teach adults. It's hard for us to leave the classroom. But April 4th is Martin Luther the anniversary of his assassination. He was killed after walking on a picket line for striking garbage workers. He went to jail again and again. We need to conduct civil disobedience at the banks, and specifically at Wells Fargo. That's how we can do it.
We'll be happy to help facilitate a meeting.
Thanks for
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the use of categorical funds. Vernon House says that some of the categorical funds are now flexible. And I would like to say that we're spending an enormous amount of money in Oakland Unified on outside consultants. And we are also spending a lot of money to do those benchmark assessments that do not necessarily address the pacing guide that we have created. Therefore, I would like to know why can't all money be used for non-essential consultants and programs such as these benchmark assessments? Why can't these funds be redirected to pay teachers' salaries and eliminate layoffs?
Yes. That's one that we will pass on to Tony Smith and make sure that we have his name. And I see that Superintendent Jordan needs to leave, so I want to thank her again for coming.
A private loan, okay.
Hi, my name is Heather Sibley. I'm a parent at Glenview Elementary. I'm a first grader and an incoming kindergartner. And my person works in Sunnyvale, so it's not for convenience that we stay in Oakland. We built a solid school in my neighborhood. A lot of my immediate neighbors have opted to go to Corpus Christi, the Catholic school, or private schools. And I'd like to ask Jean Juan, why should I stay? You've got the boot on the backs of the middle class. We do everything we can to build a wonderful school. I trust my son's teachers. I trust my principal. Assuming that they have a job in the fall, I'd like to give the power back to my individual school. I know that they will teach my children not the tests, not the administration, and not the consultants. I want the money to go to my teachers.
California, we've now probably are only above Mississippi, so unless you're moving out of the state, there's not a lot of school districts that have a lot of extra money. Now, there are school districts that have a more homogeneous student body that is better off, and there are ones that have student bodies that are less well off. I think why I tell people that I think this is the best place to raise their families is that I don't think you can get the kind of diversity and the kind of real understanding of the world in very many places, for not just the country, but maybe internationally, as you do in Oakland, that your children will be wiser, kinder, and more in tune with the needs of the world. So, the Fight for Education in this community has been particularly generous. I think there's not been so much going on with the tax, the cost of tax. The next time it comes up, I will personally work on it. So that will be up for election myself. And I think that this is a community that really loves our kids and loves our schools, that you don't have the kind of community activism around schools. I help to work the building around it. At Glenview, and it's made an amazing turnaround. So I have a long view. You have your kids there now, so you may think differently. But I have to tell you, my own kids, one of them is Sandra's, they are amazing people, and they wouldn't have been so if they hadn't gone to the public school and had the teachers that they did.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I have one thing because I really appreciate your comment. But remember, Oakland parents and students have been challenged over the last several years. Doing state takeover, it was not easy. But even then, when they were making horrible decisions, parents were working with teachers, and so there was a commitment to schools and neighborhoods to try to develop the best schools that they could. And so one reason to stay is that I think that still exists. And I think that we have marched from moving the city from state control more to local control. Now we're fighting them over making sure that we're not fined for bad management. And so we're moving to try to make this happen. And so I think that it's the parents and the students that we've heard from here that are demonstrating the best reason why we have to continue.
I would echo that. Just the presence, an event like today, shows how much the Oakland community is invested in education. And we have parents, teachers, staff, the elected officials. I think there is clear common ground here and clear, real commitment to do our best to change the situation around. And I think the effort to get the state to relieve, to stop fining Oakland because of the state's own mistakes in the receivership. I think with Superintendent Phillipson, who was someone who was once my colleague in the assembly and who knows very intimately what Oakland experienced, I think that effort
by all of us here is going to really reap some benefits, as well as our ongoing struggle to make sure that we get those revenues on the ballot and passed.
Good morning, my name is Elise Lopez, and I'm a second grade teacher at Grass Valley Elementary School, and I'm here along with several of my colleagues and some parents and my amazing student teacher. And I just want to first say thank you to everybody involved for creating this event. It really touched and moved me that this exists, and I hope that it continues to exist until we accomplish more of our goals. I come to you with the information that 13 out of 15 teachers at our elementary school received pay slips. There are two remaining staff members at our school. And I come to you also representing not only the 24 students in my second grade classroom, but also the 250 plus students at our school who are wondering what's going to happen next year. Of course, they just represent so many children throughout our city and the rest of the world right now. And so I think about what we want to teach our children, the tenets that we share in our classroom. Something that comes up a lot is that what you do makes a difference. And so I say this not only to you as leaders in our community, but to everybody in this room. It is up to each one of us, and what each of us does make a difference. So I'm not only asking of your help, but I also am taking that responsibility on myself and encouraging each of us to do the same. Because together we make that difference, and we need to think about what we are teaching our children. Thank you.
My name is David Tidwell. I'm an instrumental music teacher, and I teach at Judge Lee, Oakland Public Schools. I'm disappointed that Mr. Smith isn't here to hear my comment, because I'm a little puzzled as to the actions of the school board and the district administration regarding the music and arts. By the way, I'm a 12-year veteran. I didn't stop me from getting the things that for some reason where us past teachers are regarded as lesser beings in some way. The number of music teachers that got pay slips was more than 20, and yet the school board specifically authorized only 8 music teachers to be cut. So I can, regardless of Mrs. Smith here to respond, I'm going to presume the district is playing a smoke and mirrors game with the number of layoff notices that were sent out to music teachers alone. I really believe that it's quite possible that they're trying to decimate the music and arts programs in the district, but it's too ashamed to come out and say through the board, because they know how politically unpopular it is amongst the people of Oakland, who voted in huge numbers for Measure G to continue, among other things, to support music and arts in Oakland public schools. But I go on record as saying that the district has been unwilling. I have asked my supervisor to find out why there's discrepancy between what the board recommended and how many letters the district sent out. And if it's true for music teachers, it may be true for other teachers too. I want everybody to know that I'm 57 years old. I've had some sleepless nights wondering about how I'm going to provide for my family. And I'm not the only one, as you know. But the district's taken a really heavy hand with this. If it means that if eight teachers put together, let's lay off the music, and in more than 20 get notes, maybe only 100, 200 teachers. But why put another 600, 700 teachers through this? Everybody's been real nice today. I think I've been the first one up here. That's been real nice, but I appreciate Mr. Smith being here when he was. But I'd like us to be aware that the district isn't being perfectly straight about this. And I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me just say that a very important underlining point to this is that we
sometimes we walk over and under and devalue the contributions of music, of sports, of those things that help our kids in school to make a complete experience, a complete education experience, which in my mind completely contribute to a higher daily attendance, lower truancy, lower dropout rate. And so if you put a value on what music does and what the sports program does, it more than pays for itself.
Yeah.
Can't hear you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sharice Gash. I'm a parent of a child at Kaiser Elementary School, and it really saddens me that I need to be here this morning to talk about education for our children. I believe that education is not just a privilege, it's a right of every child. And I say to my son that this state will not educate him. I'm going to make this decision. And I understand that either rich Christians are going to go on and stuff like that, but there is money out there for everyone. And the fact is that if every parent, every teacher, every student took all their children and went to the state capitol and asked every
teacher,
they cannot do it. They cannot spend 8 hours a day sitting with a child every day teaching them. And the fact is, I have never seen any part of my school that can teach you Bentleys or Jaguars or anything. I don't believe it. And I do believe that, you know, education is power, and what you're trying to say is that you're giving education away to someone else, and education for our children has to be necessary. It has to be the first priority, number one, every day. Every day.
Thank you.
really regret, but we had promised our guests, and I know they're promised to leave. We just want to wrap up with a few thank yous.
I said, you know, Craig Gordon, I teach at McLean's High School, and we having $400,000 of our $1.4 million budget cut. We don't know how that's going to work, and we continue to teach a full program. But I would like to ask our remaining presenters here, particularly our state legislators, to commit to the following. We hear a lot of support here for corporate and progressive taxation, but we're not hearing that in the public. And we're hearing a lot about tax extensions on the middle and working class. So I'd like to ask each of you, if you would publicly endorse and forcefully and continually speak to this, because we're not hearing the media, the following. Split rule tax on corporate property, taxes on banks and corporate profits, closing tax loopholes for banks and corporations, restructuring income tax brackets to make the loan pay a higher percentage, and finally a 1% transaction fee on banks. Will you commit to publicly endorsing that forcefully and in a long way and working on legislation for those ends?
Yes, and none of those. I'm carrying legislation right now. Interesting, you're very right that the media does not cover those kinds of bills in the same way that they cover other things, but we're doing our best to get that word out. We're talking now about, we're putting in op-eds. We're talking to various public entities to do forums on these subjects. So absolutely, we have to continue the debate. Even if we aren't successful in getting measures like what you described passed immediately, we've got to do the discussions publicly so people understand.
Yes, and in the end, I started my statement by talking about progressive taxation and the fact that we have to address these issues and as they relate to the positive impact of education.
Craig, I wonder, thank you for bringing that proposal forward, and I wonder if you would consider adding a severance tax on oil, because we're only one or two states that does not have a severance tax, and I would hope that you bring that also to your unions, your statewide unions, to your national unions. They did not support the Democracy Act for 50%. And I think that we look to organizations to help lead these struggles to create a voice. And so when I was chastised by folks for supporting the Democracy Act as not being realistic because they couldn't raise the money, If our working class organizations, if our local nonprofits, if we all get together and support something, this kind of package, we'll have a bigger voice and we'll have a better chance of raising money. So thank you.
I don't know enough about the main ones that I've obviously supported both Nancy and Sandra's initiatives and Phil Team's initiative on the split row. I was going to say what Sheila said. The CPA has a lot of power. You need to organize within your own union. I think that they've been taking Catholic least resistance on some of the stuff they're moving in Sacramento now. You're one of the few unions that have enough money to run a state initiative. Could have done that. Aiding Sandra here on the prison guards contract to look at that. Yeah. It looks to me that, although since the money hasn't come out, it looks to me that it's a wash. 20% of prison guards make over $100,000. I would bet that no teachers in Oakland, some principals maybe, but no teachers in Oakland make over $100,000. And prison guards have only a high school degree. So I think people need to use some of your political clout at the House bus, that your union has some of the best resources in the state and could run either an oil tax or really support the democracy issue.
I just wanted to speak to that briefly for CTA. I sit on the public education funding work group with CTA, and a lot of large urban locals have been pushing the leadership of CTA to do just that. So we really welcome your support in helping us push our leadership to take a much more aggressive stand, because without that, we aren't going to get very far. Thank you. Okay, Terry, last speaker.
Good morning, I'm Terry Salvatore. I'm a third generation Oakland resident. My children represent OUSD alums and the fourth generation of Oakland. I hope we have some different generations. I teach fourth grade at Glenview School. We have an amazing new principal, Natalie Walchuk, if you remember her name, who has respect and hearts of all of the faculty, staff, and our community. We hope she will not be caught up in this proposed administrative shuffle. We are really mired in a number of rumors about our future, and I ask that we move towards transparency. Just one issue that is not transparent, and most of the community is not aware of, is the situation in the music department that was outlined a few minutes ago. Music, I've been working for 16 years in a classroom with a credential. I have not been affected by this, but teachers who've worked since 1992 were riffed, and ultimately music teachers will be terminated. I know, Mayor Kwan, that was a vital issue to you. It's been for many, many years. This music program is going to be decimated. It looks as though it will, because there's no firm information, as though the elementary school programs of music will be cleared out. So we're asking that transparency be made, that everything be made transparent. I'm asking Dr. Smith to be really clear about what's going on. I've heard him speak a number of times about educating the whole child. Music and all of the arts, as well as athletics, are essential ingredients of a child's whole education. Please keep music alive in Oakland for our kids today and the future generations. Thank you.
I'd like to say a few words of thanks and apologies to those who didn't get to speak. I'd especially like to thank Mayor Kwan for making City Hall available for us today.
Thank you very much.
I really support teachers, and I want to really be thankful to Assemblymember Skinner, Assemblymember Swanson, Superintendent Jordan, Superintendent Smith, I believe, because they really represent people that we can really work with around a lot of really hard issues. We may have differences around some things, but I think with the power of the teachers and the need for teachers and the need for no layoffs and the need for our community to have safe, stable, sustainable schools, that we can work together and make some changes. Finally, I'd like to
have a quick announcement.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, when you're done.
Sure. I want to really thank our crisis action team. Or quickly, and there are a lot of steps to it, and they have been working really hard to do this. I'd just like to see a show of hands of those who are left. How many would like to do this again? So we continue to do this. Ask Mayor Kwan if we can use these chambers again, invite everybody again, and continue the conversation. Because I think a lot of good ideas have come up, commitments have come up, and now we all have a lot of work to do. It's not enough to just sit and hope that something changes. We have to keep making that change.
So I just want to say that my crew was able to record all the testimony. We can't broadcast it live, but we don't have staff working today, but we will broadcast it during the week. I'll give you the schedule so that more people can see what took place today. Thank you, Randy, the crowds down a little bit. I also want to say that I just texted Kelly Smith, and I'm going to be talking to him about this.
Thank all of you again. Again, by thanking all of you for caring so much about our kids. I really believe that this campaign to save education for our children is so important. We also have to remember the campaign around the Dream Act, how important that is for our kids. And you know, those that presented ideas, progressive ideas around taxation and revenue generating, those campaigns are very, very important for us to engage and to and to support. It's also important for us to recognize that this is probably every generation, I think, has its major challenges. I think education is becoming one of our generation's greatest civil rights challenges. I think that we are missing the point. We have a budget, $85 billion. It doesn't matter if it's $85 billion now, and it used to be $105 billion. The fact of the matter is that within this $85 billion budget, education should be our number one priority, and we should figure out how to make sure that we can fund it. Because funding education in our children, it will bring that return back to the state. And so there are a lot of ways that we can, through regressive taxation, but also through us making sure that we deal with some of the problems with our state, like the fact that we waste billions of dollars through our inability to solve the crisis in our prisons and our recidivism rate, where we're spending $50,000 a year on the same inmates returning and returning without us actually successfully rehabilitating them and getting them into the fabric of society. Education can play a role in that also. And so there's a few billion dollars there that can be directed toward education. There's a fair share that all excise tax could make its contribution. And increasing business growth in our state by making sure education is available is an important partnership that can make. And I hope going forward we will reach out to foundations and to others to see this as an important opportunity to invest in the fabric of our community by helping us eliminate layoffs, by making a contribution during this recession into our schools. And so we're going to continue to fight. But finally, I have to tell you is that I have absolutely zero confidence in the Republicans and the legislature reaching any fair agreement. And I think that it's really time for us to take our future in our own hands.
Able to restore a number, if not all, of those teachers, and
we, as someone from Wisconsin said, we are not going to capitulate to more ridiculous demands of Republicans that give away more corporate tax breaks or some other screwy program. We got to just take the risk to put this issue before Californians and trust and believe and work to get Californians to engage and to extend the revenues and to put education first. And on my website, my state website, is the background around the progressive tax measures that I'm sponsoring right now in legislation. In the upper income tax bracket, there are only 30,000 taxpayers among California's 36 million population that would be affected. And yet those 30,000 taxpayers would bring in $2 billion of revenue to us if we restored the rate that they paid under Republican governors Reagan and Wilson. So it's fair, and you can get more on it on the website, so you can put out letters to the editor or put it out in your blogs or, you know, whatever. Help me engage the public in understanding what progressive taxation would be.
Just a little homework for everyone. Please follow some of these bills. AB 600, which deals with trying to redirect this $20 million that the state wants to take in penalties and fines. AB 609, what we're trying to do there is develop some regulations around how the state must act when it takes over a school district. And then we mentioned AB 189 around adult education. AB 216 is a bill that I have around allowing community colleges to do classes in prisons to try to lower the recidivism rate. Those are important. And then finally, remember, the reason why I spoke of taking a position no more cuts for schools, period, that's kind of my position, no more cuts for schools, period, is because we've already cut $20 billion out of schools. $20 billion over during this period of time. When we had that other guy run the state. I think that we've already given, and now it's time for us to try to build that. And that's what this campaign has to be all about. Thank you so much.
AB 153, which is allows us to collect the sales tax right from the owner by Amazon. And that one just got through revenue tax, so we're looking good, but Amazon's being a bully. That's 153. And then the reinstatement, the Reagan-Wilson shared wealth measure is AB 1130.
Why don't you guys put that out, and we can get it out to our listserv so people know what to write about and who to write to.
So we all have a lot of work to do. There is no place to sit on our haunches and wait for something to happen. We need to be in the streets. We need to be fighting for progressive taxation, educating our members, educating the public about that. I want to thank everybody for staying this long. Remind you, please fill out your evaluation form. It will really help us when we plan the next one. And because there is no staff here today to clean up, please be sure to clean up after yourself. And finally, please be sure to take some of the literature that we have. We have palm cards about safe, stable, sustainable schools. We have a letter to the community that I wrote about the layoffs. And we have postcards that you can send against the cuts. So I want to thank again our panelists for coming. And I want to thank all of you, especially the Catholic community. If you are interested in possibly pursuing a special ed credential and you were laid off, please come here and talk to Barbara Cass. We are pursuing that. Thank you.